In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. We have to learn to think spiritually. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliott to challenge and encourage us to holy living.
Titus 2, verses 3-5. The Apostle Paul is writing to a young pastor, teaching him clearly what he is to teach. Teach them not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine. And I think that it would be entirely legitimate to say addicted to anything at all. We ought not to be addicted to anything at all. And I won't mention that dark brown hot liquid to which many people are addicted. And they say, "Don't talk to me till I've had my coffee. I don't want anybody to say a word to me till I've had my coffee." We don't have a right to be nasty. We don't have the privilege of being that selfish. Not addicted to much wine or much of anything else, but to teach what is good. Then, meaning having set an example of reverence, of not slandering, and of not being self-indulgent by any kind of addiction, then they can train the younger women to do what? To love their husbands. To love their husbands. Why do we have so many divorces today among Christians? Hardly a week goes by that I don't hear about another divorce in some family that I know, let alone all the ones I don't know. Why? Because the older men are not teaching the younger men, and the older women are not teaching the younger women to love their husbands. How is a man supposed to love his wife if he has not come from the kind of home in which his father set that example? He can learn. He doesn't have the excuse. But who's teaching him? Where are the men? On the golf course? Very possibly. Do you have time to play golf and teach the younger men? Do you have time to retire and do these things which are told of us women that we are to do? Train the younger women to love their husbands. Now, to love means two primary things. It doesn't mean feeling good about. It doesn't mean romance. It means, number one, the intention of unity. This is how I am to love my husband, Lars Grin. Always intending unity with whatever comes up between us. Every conversation, every decision, every action of mine is to contribute to our oneness in Christ. And the second thing is a concern for his good, not mine. A mother came up to me and she said, "What would you tell your daughter if she's planning to divorce her husband because he doesn't meet all her needs?" And I sighed a great sigh, because I've heard that so many times. My husband doesn't meet all my needs. Can you imagine that there is one human being in the whole world that could possibly meet all your needs? Where did such a stupid notion ever come from? I said to this mother, "Whatever gave your daughter the idea that he could? I have been married 3 times. Jim was murdered. Ad died of cancer. I'm now married to Lars. If I had Jim and Ad and Lars simultaneously, they could not meet all my needs." Now, Jim used to say every woman needs 3 husbands. She needs one to love her, she needs one to fix everything around the house, and she needs one to go out and bring home the bacon. Now, do you really expect your husband to do all 3 of those things equally well? It's absurd. I am not to love my husband constantly asking, "But what if he doesn't love me? You know, he's supposed to love me as Christ loved the church." Of course he is. But it's not my business to tell him that he has to start loving me. It's my business to be lovable. Am I making it easy for my husband to love me? Am I lovable? Am I doing what I can to bring greater unity between us, or am I creating standoffs? I won't do this until you do that. Until she does so and so, I can't love her as Christ loved the church because she doesn't submit to me. And the women say to me, I don't have to submit to my husband because he's not a Christian. Or my husband, even though he professes to be a Christian, he's not loving me as Christ loved the church. And I want to say, what else is new? Is there a man in history that has ever loved his wife as Christ loved the church? My husband is fallible. I don't know about yours. My husband is a sinner. And guess what my husband is married to? A sinner. And if a sinful man is going to live with a sinful woman 365 days a year, there are going to be a whole lot of times when both of them need to say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. The older women are to teach the younger women not to get their husbands to love them, but to love their husbands. And the more I love my husband, the more lovable I will be. And the more I offer myself to him in sacrifice, in sacrificial love, in willingness to suffer, the more I will be like Jesus Christ, because he gave himself for me and he suffered for me. It says, the older women are to teach the younger women to love their children. What does the Bible tell us about loving our children? It says that the parent who does not discipline his child hates him. We have this thoroughly secular, worldly notion that to spank our children is very cruel. And nowadays, there's a great deal of very muddy thinking, woolly thinking, which doesn't make a distinction between hitting your child and spanking your child. And the Bible is very clear that spanking is a totally different kind of a thing. Spanking is a measure of pain inflicted on a child by a parent who is in total control of himself. It's when the parent has screamed at the child 10 times and the child is not obeyed because the parent has taught the child that he doesn't need to obey the first 9 times, that the parent by that time is out of control of himself, and in anger he is likely to beat the child and abuse the child. But we're not teaching how to love our children. And one of the first priorities in loving our children is to teach them obedience. How are they going to learn to love God? Obedience is the proof of our love. And in our home, the home in which I grew up, we knew perfectly well that our parents meant exactly what they said the first time. They didn't give us a second and a third command, and they certainly were not stupid enough to give us countdowns. Where did that notion ever come from? Training your children to delay obedience. You just simply say, come, and the child comes. And you say, no, and the child takes his hand away and doesn't do the thing that he's just about to touch. It's when that child begins to crawl that he needs to learn those two commands. Come. And if he doesn't come now, he gets a spanking. When he starts to touch that figurine on the coffee table, you say, no. And if he touches it, he gets a spanking. A young woman told me just very recently, she's the mother of 5 very fine, well-trained children now, but she told me when she had her first baby, she visited my mother one time. And she said, you know, your mother taught me the most important lesson of my life about raising my children. My child was sitting on my lap, grabbing my glasses. And she said, the whole time I was talking to your mother, these glasses were coming off and on. And I was saying, no, honey, don't touch them. And my mother, finally, in desperation, said to this woman, do you realize that you can teach that baby not to touch your glasses? And Robin said to me, that was a revelation. I didn't know I could teach that baby not to touch my glasses. I didn't know that. Well, God help us all. The older women are to teach the younger women. We come from a generation where nobody ever heard of child abuse. Nobody ever made any question about spanking. Nobody was worried and uptight and thinking, oh my, we might damage their poor little egos. We just took it for granted that the mama is the mama. I don't know if you've seen that poster of the hen with her little chickens, and underneath the legend says, because I'm the mama, that's why. You don't have to give your child any other explanations. You know, this business of explaining all these things to little children is absurd. Just absurd. To teach the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to be self-controlled and pure.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.